You may want to turn in your New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to use that text by way of invitation this evening. Specifically, verse 35. When we look at the list of notables that are found in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter as examples of great faith, there is, at the end of that chapter, individuals who are unnamed simply because of a lack of space. In other words, Hebrew writer could have gone on and on and on. And it may be that some of these that are listed, we could go to the Old Testament, we could look and we could find out who he's speaking of. But I like the idea that he simply, in passing, refers to this great host. He mentions in verse 35 women who received their dead raised to life again. Others tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others that had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now, this reference to all of these faithful individuals who had a name, a testimony, that they were faithful. These individuals lived and died before the establishment of the new covenant, and as a result of that, lived and died before the redemption that was secured by Jesus Christ in his death on the cross. And that's the reference there when it says they did not receive the promise. While they were alive, the promise was yet future. And it was not until Christ died on the cross that the promise was in fruition. And so the statement that God provided something better for us, he of course refers to those who were living at that time who had received that promise that came through Jesus Christ. But he gives us in chapter 12 and the first couple of verses an exhortation as we contemplate all that are on the list, both those named and unnamed. He said, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. It is he that gives us that hope. And just as these individuals were faithful, many of them living and dying before Christ was born, they nevertheless remain faithful as they look forward to that promise. They serve as great examples to us, and we should strive to do the same. Live and die in faith, having received that promise, which came through the redemption of Christ. It is a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have to live in the time that we live. We live post-resurrection, post-crucifixion. We live in the last days where that hope of redemption that was only seen through a veil darkly by those who went before is fully uncovered for us. It is a glorious hope that we have. And it certainly should be a motivation for us to live righteously before him. We're going to offer an invitation at this time to any who are here who need to respond to the invitation call. If it is that you're not a child of God, we pray that you'll take the opportunity that you have this evening to become one, that you may live righteously with him, that you may, as a result of the hope that you have, see the fruition of it in eternity. If you're a child of God and you've done something amiss, you need our encouragement, if we can assist you in any way, the invitation is available to you as well. We don't know your heart, but if you need to come now, would you do so while together we stand?